JBQ, standing by for net.
W4DJW. I'm pinging Daniel to see if he's gonna be there. Net control operator is on the way. W4DJW, standing by for net. CQ, 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 the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is W4DJW. My name is Dave, and my location is Greer. In the interest of promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesars Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. All amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Is there any formal traffic, bulletins, or announcements for the net? Please call W4DJW. Okay, nothing heard. We'll now begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the rag-shoe portion. Tonight being Friday night, we'll begin with Uniform through Zulu, but before we do that, we'll go through the pre-net check-ins and then Echolink stations and then any new amateur radio operators. So going over the pre-net check-ins, we have W4FCM, that's Fred, bringing with him N4IEI, that's Miss Isla, they're over in Travelers Rest, and K4XMR, that's Mel, who is in Prosperity, KN4RJN, that is John over in Brown Summit, KW4TS, Jim in Pelzer, KI4LZI, Andy in Table Rock, N4WRO, Bill in Easley, KJ4UHF, that's Jack over in Greenville, KA5WLL, Leroy and Taylors, W2T, Rusty and Moore, KG4PFI, Don, and KG4QLQ, that's Miss Linda, they're over in Piedmont. AC4AG, that's Austin and Taylors, W2AMD, Andrew in Simpsonville, K0OIM, that's Walter, Tuesday Night Net Control Operator in Inman. KC4W, that's Bill over in Anderson, W4IOE, Sid over in Fletcher, N4DJC, Jerry in Anderson, and KG4WNP, that's Landon, who is over in Dacusville. So we appreciate those pre-net check-ins for using the pre-net functionality. We'll go ahead now for look for brand new, there's no Echolink station, so we'll look for brand new amateur radio operators who have never checked into a net before who would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net this evening. Just call W4DJW and I'll do the rest.
J4WZM, when you get a chance, let me know how many check-ins you have, including yourself.
Hey, Daniel, that's 19 so far, including me. Are you ready to pick it up?
I'm about to pull up Echolink on my phone, but I'll go ahead and pick it up. I don't hear any new check-ins. I'll give it one last call, though. Are you ready to hand it over, Dave?
Yeah, there's nobody on Echolink, so you can take your time about that. This is W4DJW handing over net control operation to KJ4WZM. Take it away, Daniel.
This is KJ4WZM. Handling the 2-meter net. Let's see. So I'll go ahead and make one call for Echolink stations, though, in case any of them are coming online. Are there any Echolink stations that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Please call KJ4WZM or net control. Hearing none, this is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the active portion. Tonight being Friday night, we'll begin with stations with the suffix of their call beginning Uniform through Zulu, U through Z. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
Net control. Form the Zulu Hotel Foxtrot G12. Check me in outside.
Below November 4, Victor Whiskey Alpha, Steven Inman. Negative and negative.
K4ZHF, that is Keith in Columbus, and KN4VWA, that is Steve in Inman. And I have one station by telephone relay, that is KJ4 Uniform Quebec Delta, KJ4UQD. Her name is Sharon, and her location is Cherrydale. any other stations, U through Z, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
4WFU, Ken, Simpsonville.
4 Foxtrot Hotel, Juliet, Gene, and Taylor's. I know I'm checking in out of turn, but I got to get somewhere right away. Anyway, other than that, we have no comments. Over.
I recognize K4WFU, Ken and Simpsonville, and W4FHJ, Eugene and Taylor's. One last call, Uniform 3 Zulu, and go ahead and go do what you had to do, Gene. No problem, no problem. Don't stress over that. Any other stations, U through Z? If you'd like to check in to the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control. Go ahead and move up to Alpha through Delta, A through D. If you'd like to check in to the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
KJ4WZM. And Daniel, please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November, Oscar, Lorena, and my daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar, Quebec, Michelle. We're all in Piedmont, and we'll all be negative and negative. 73's to you, and all on the net.
Daniel, please check in. Kilo, Mike, 4, Bravo, Lima, Hotel, KM4BLH. The name here is Kurt, Charlie Uniform, Romeo Tango, QTH is Greenville, and no traffic, no comments.
AZM. Daniel, please check in. KI4DOS, Gary. Also, K3JOY. That's my pretty little bride, Joy. We're at home in Easley. No traffic, no queue tonight. Good evening to you, Daniel, and all on the net.
WCM. K1CJW. That's Kilo 1. Charlie Juliet Whiskey. The name is Roland. We're located in Biggins. Negative, negative. And good evening to all.
We're WZM. Daniel, please check in. Kilo, Bravo 2, Bravo Yankee, Quebec. KB2, BYQ, Dave and Easley. I'll be negative and negative. Everybody have a good evening.
KK4DMW, that is Rick. He brings along with him his wife, KK4ONO, Lorena, and his daughter, KM4MOQ, Michelle. They're at home in Piedmont tonight. Next, we got KM4BLH, Kirk and Greenville. KI4DOS, his wife, Joy, K3JOY. They're home easily tonight. K1CJW, Roland and Pickens. And KB2BYQ, Dave and Easley. Any other stations, Alpha through Delta, A through D. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
Net control. Please check in. Kilo November 4, Delta Bravo, Quebec. It's KN4DBQ, Nancy, my wife. Also, please check in Kilo 9, Oscar Hotel, K9OH. That's Billy, we're both in Anderson this evening. Good evening to all, and 73's on the net.
Now, we'd like to recognize KN4DBQ. That is Nancy and K9OH, Billy. Hey, Billy, I got a quick question for you. Got some radio questions for you, and some of it doesn't even have to do with ham radio, and I was wondering if I could give you a call sometime, or if you could take down my number and call me whenever it's convenient for you. Would either one of those work?
If you want to copy it down, my number, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
The area code is 803-497-5560. 803-497-5560.
I get it, Billy. Is there any specific time that would work good for you?
Pretty much. much. Any time's usually fine. Contact.
K9OH, this is KO4NUE. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Billy, I'm the club president at the Thermal Belt Amateur Radio Club, and I'm presenting a PowerPoint presentation on the Warren's repeater system in January. Could I contact you sometime soon and go over these slides with you real quick to make sure what I'm presenting is correct?
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for.
Number, I'll give you a call. KO4NUE, back to net.
Billy's a popular fellow tonight. Appreciate it, Billy. K9OH, KJ4WZM. I'll probably call you tomorrow. Probably sometime late morning, early afternoon. I don't want to wake you up or anything like that. But appreciate it. Alright, any last stations? Alpha through Delta, A through D, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
K9OH clear.
Okay, Billy.
No, you're fine. I just threw my call out clear. K9OH out.
Go ahead and move up to E through H, Echo through Hotel. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
K4WZM. Again, Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November, Harry in Candler, North Carolina. Glad you can make it, Daniel. And thanks. I'll be negative to negative tonight.
Again, Wendy in Simpsonville, Kilo November 4, Hotel Tango Papa, KN4HTP. I'll be negative and negative. Please also check in my husband Mark, Whiskey 2, Mike. Juliet Bravo, W2MJB. He'll be negative and negative also. I have a question for you, Daniel. Would you think about giving me the net on Christmas Eve? So I'll let you think about that, and I'll get back with you later. Thanks for calling the net.
Nice. KC4EZN. That is Harry and Candler. And no problem, Harry. Sorry I was late getting to the net tonight. I just come in from work just a few minutes before the net and threw something in the microwave to eat. And while I was starting to eat that, my family members started texting me in a big frenzy because one of my siblings is about 100 miles in front of what appears to be an EF5 tornado that is on the ground headed towards Tennessee, Kentucky area. I think it was Arkansas. One of my siblings is out there, and that tornado is lined up squarely towards him. He's about 100 miles in front of it, so we were all watching radar all excitedly. That's not really where he intends to be either, so we're just keeping an eye on that thing. It's about 2 hours out from him, so hopefully it'll fall apart before it gets there. None of us want that kind of excitement. It's cool when it's that far out, but it's not cool when it starts closing in, so... That's why I was late to the net. I was looking at that. And next up we have KN4HTP. That is Wendy. And W2MJB, that is Mark. They're in Simpsonville tonight. And Wendy, if you would like to have Christmas Eve, you can have it. It is all yours. I'll let you do that. If anybody specifically wants to call the net on any one of the Friday nights, which is my night, all y'all have to do is ask me. And You can have the net that night. It's not a problem. And if anyone needs me to call the net for them, feel free to let me know too. I'll pick up any nights that are needed. So all you net control people out there, if you need anyone to pick up the net, you can get in contact with me and I'll pick it up for you. Be more than happy to. Any other stations? E through H, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control. India through Lima, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
WZM. Kilo 4, Juliet, Foxtrot, Oscar, and I'm James, and I'm up here on this mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina. Now be negative and negative. Say 73s for each one of you.
4 WZM. please check in Kilo 4 Lima Whiskey Echo K4LWE Larry in Piedmont, negative and negative.
J4WCM. Glad to hear you call the net tonight. Please check in Kilo 4 Juliet Bravo Quebec. This is Larry. Also, my wife Donna, Kilo Charlie 4. Mike, Foxtrot Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Mark us in and out, if you would, please. 7-3.
For WZM. Neil, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor. That's KO4 JKB. And this is Duncan up in Asheville, North Carolina. No traffic, but I'll stick around for a comment. 73 to you and everybody on the net.
To recognize KK4JFO, that is James up on the mountain in Tuxedo. K4LWE, that is Larry in Piedmont, and then another Larry, KK4JBQ, that's Greer Larry, and he brings along with him his wife Donna, KC4MFK. Hope y'all are doing great in Greer tonight. Next I've got KO4JKV, Duncan in Asheville. I got you marked down for comments, Duncan. Any other stations? I through L. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Tuner Net, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. Next, M through P. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Tuner Net, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
WZM. A4OSH. Kilo 4 Oscar. Sierra Hotel. Pat in Foggy Malden. Mobile in Foggy Malden this evening. No traffic, no comment. Thank you, sir.
Carl, please check in KO4 Papa X-ray Bravo Lloyd Mobile in Simpsonville. That's Lima, Lima, Oscar, Yankee, Delta. KO4 PXB.
This is Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo, KO4 NUE. Name is Chad. QTH is Campobello. Please also check in my wife. Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo Yankee Papa, KO4 RYP. We'll both be in and out tonight, Daniel. Thank you for calling the net.
Kilo X-ray for Mike Tango, KX4MT, Mike and Pickens, be negative and negative. Thanks.
In and out. Kilo India 4, Victor Lima Whiskey, Randy. Also check in. Kilo Juliet 4, Charlie Romeo Lima, Linda, and we're in Asheville.
Recognize. KO and K4OSH. That is Pat in Foggy Malden. Pat, it was foggy all day today. I'm looking forward to when the sun comes out again. Kind of, sort of, except for first thing in the morning when it comes through the windshield and it hits me in the face. That is my least favorite part of the day. I'm glad I didn't have that today. But the fog hung around a lot. Be careful out there on the mobile, Pat. There was a lot of wrecks out there today. Next up, we got KO4PXB. That is Lloyd in Simpsonville. Thanks for checking in, Lloyd. I think I talked to you this morning, and I think that was the first time I have ever spoken to you. Next up, I've got KO4NUE. That is Chad in Campobello and his wife, Anna, also in Campobello, KO4RYP. Next, I got KX4MT. Mike in, I think it was Pickens. KI4VLW Randy, and he brings along with him his wife Linda, KJ4CRL. They are at home in Asheville tonight. Any other stations? Mike through Papa. Please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. Q through T, if you'd like to check into Blue Ridge Community Internet, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control.
WZM. Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec,
Lima Golf. That's KO4QOG. My name is Chris. I'm in Liberty, and I'll be negative and negative.
WZM. Please check in Kilo 4 Romeo Oscar Whiskey, K4OW Richard Grable. No traffic, no roundtable. Good to hear you tonight.
Nice. Hold on. KO4QLG, Chris in Liberty, and K4ROW, Richard in Greenville. I'll go ahead and open it all the way up through the alphabet, A through Z, Z through A. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge Shooting Internet, please call KJ4WZM or net control.
November 1, X-ray radio, radio. My name is Michael. I'm mobile in Fair Play, South Carolina. I'll be negative and negative. Thank you.
Museum. Please check in Kilo 4, X-ray Bravo. That's K4XB. Tommy, Southern Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative. Good evening to you and everyone on the net.
N1XRR. That is Michael in Fairplay and K4XB. Tommy in Southern Greenville County. Any other stations, Alpha through Zulu, A through Z. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, please call KJ4WZM or net control. WZM now securing the full moon portion of the net with their thanks for checking in. All stations wishing to secure may do so. We will now begin the RAG 2 portion of the net with periodic stops for check-ins between RAG 2s. Duncan, you're first up. How was your day today?
WZM, KO4JKB. It was a good day. It was a busy day. A lot of work to keep me off the YouTube researching radios. And then when you said that you were worried about the, like a family member, but that you said an F4 tornado out there in the Plain States, and that just made me think that I went through one tornado when I was a little kid, and I went through one hurricane in Texas in 1989. But are you still checking on them? Are they what's the status on that?
That gap in time, right after I checked in, right after I recognized Randy and Linda, I was watching my phone. He was sending me screenshots of the velocity map as the tornado went directly beside him, less than a mile away. He heard it and go by, and he said the wind was streaking and everything. That wasn't the big one. There's another big one back there that has a, instead of a tornado warning, has a tornado emergency. I'm looking to see where that one is. It's still on its way to him now. But he just got missed by one tornado. I'm going to see if the tornado emergency is still active.
No, that's wild that we're pretty safe from tornadoes here in the mountains. You guys down there in the Piedmont, not so much, but of course the mountains up here break up every a lot of stuff weather-wise, but yeah, I was in a tornado when I was in elementary school, and a big 80-foot pine tree fell in our house, and we had to replace the whole entire roof, and that was in the Valley of Ohio, where tornadoes are very rare, but yeah, they don't mess around. I went on a YouTube kick where I just looked at tornado videos, the storm chasers. That's fascinating stuff.
I've always been interested in that kind of stuff, big time. I've gone out and chased them at night, too, which was really dumb. And a few years ago, I almost got myself hit by one in Simpsonville. I was so close that I seen big tree limbs coming down out of the sky right onto the road in front of me while I was sitting at a traffic light as a tornado crossed the road by the police department. If the light had been green instead of red, I would have ended up right underneath that thing as it came through. That was a very near miss for me, but I had gone out and chased that thing. I picked up that storm as it crossed from Georgia into South Carolina, and I chased it up to Simpsonville. And that thing was very difficult to run with, too. It went so fast.
Thank you.
lot of wild weather here, but I tell you, some of the wildest weather phenomenon that I've ever witnessed was in those plain states like South Dakota, Kansas, Oklahoma. You see these big, huge storms, you know, 100, 250 miles away, and you just got to, if you know there's going to be hail, you got to protect your car, pull it into a car wash or something, because these storms are so strong, the hail, it'll just completely demolish the exterior of your car. I can tell you from experience.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we get them a little bit worse here than you do in Asheville, but we don't get them like the plain states do. The plain states have had basketball-sized hail in the past, and that's just mind-boggling how a chunk of ice can even grow that big and be up in the sky. I find that confusing. I remember when some roughly baseball-sized hail came through a few years back. I don't know, 2016, 2017, 2018. I think it was 2017 or 2018. It came through over at BMW and demolished thousands of cars. This roughly baseball-sized hail that came through there. It was stupid big, and it hailed for like 2 hours with a really bad thunderstorm. And they had all those vehicles sitting out there waiting to get sold. And they just got demolished. So, I remember one like that, but that's the only big hailstorm I can remember. And it came through my house area and Traveler's Rest and dropped golf balls of ice hail all over the place. It dented up my buddy's car. Mine, I have a 1992 vehicle, and it laughed at it. And I got some chips in the windshield, but it didn't dent my vehicle at all. But my buddy's car, oh my goodness. It got dents all over that thing. Thousands of dollars of damage to that car.
If you get hit by a hailstorm like that, it pretty much totals it, depending on what model it is. Because, it does dent it in. There was one time I was driving out west, because I used to work for the National Park System out in Yellowstone way back in the 90s. And we were heading west, and we saw a big storm coming, and we saw the hail start hitting, and then the first underpass I just pulled under, and I think I dodged the bullet there. But it's really exciting. I can kind of see how those storm chasers get the rush, because it's one thing to see it on TV, but if you're actually there and you just feel the energy in the air and just feel the temperature, the wind, and see the storm coming, it's very exciting.
That's about the only thing that even gives me an adrenaline rush. Roller coasters are pretty unimpressive to me. They're fun, but that's about it. I don't really get an adrenaline rush from them or pretty much anything else. But chasing a tornado, definitely.
Well, that's funny. I'm like 50 years old right now, and about 2 years ago, my wife and I decided to go to the Buncombe County Fairgrounds. They had a fair down there by the Ag Center and the airport. So we decided to go on like the scariest ride, or the top two scariest rides, and I got on it, and yeah, I'm not doing that. It was memorable, but I would not sign up to do that again. But the storm chasing, I can do that. I can see that as a hobby. But I won't keep you here forever. I know someone else might want to comment. Yeah, you still do roller coasters? This is KO4JKB.
Oh yeah, I still do roller coasters. I like to go to Carowinds and ride theirs. I like to ride the Intimidator. It's a red roller coaster. That's at Carowinds. I like to ride Afterburn. It used to have a different name. I can't remember what its old name was. But it's the blue one at the south entrance of the park. And then I like to ride the big, kind of the aqua turquoisey, bluish greenish one called Fury
325. That one's really fun. It picks you up 325 feet in the air and then drops you almost at a 90 degree angle to the ground, really close to 90 degrees. It reaches a top speed of 95 miles an hour and drops you to 10 feet underground as well. So after your first drop, you go around a couple little curves and then you go under the ground. It's pretty neat. You go underneath the north gate entrance to the park and then right back up above it. It's a very enjoyable ride.
Good. I just, when you were describing that story, I thought about the time I went to, my wife's family came up from Florida and we went to Dollywood, and I'd never been to Dollywood, and I've lived in Asheville since early 90s. That was my first time, so we went on a lot of these rides, and there was no ride. Well, there's rides that I avoided by choice because I knew they'd be scary, but all the rides I went on was very cool. And also, Dollywood is a cool park, but yeah, I remember when I was a little kid, I went to Cincinnati and rode this on a roller coaster called the Beast. It was the fastest in the world, all made out of wood. And that was a really cool thing. So I don't know how we got on amusement rides and tornadoes, but that was a good cue there. KO4JKP.
I'm out of adrenaline rush. That was a pretty neat. I don't know why I have a very difficult time even experiencing an adrenaline rush. Not really much scares me these days anymore, to any degree. Takes a lot to do it. But, yeah, it was great talking to you, Duncan. And holler at me anytime. I'll go ahead and check for any more check-ins now. Have I missed anyone for check-ins or comments? If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2 Meter Net or RagTube, please call KJ4WZM or Net Control. I'll go ahead and type up my net report. Hey, Duncan, you still there?
Yeah, I'm sitting here at KO4JKP. I'll be hanging around a little bit if anybody wants to talk.
I'm still watching this radar here. That tornado appears to still be on the ground and still is very, very, very strong and very large. They've dropped it to a regular tornado warning instead of a tornado emergency. It's weakened a very small bit, but it's still very powerful. And it is now 80 miles from my brother. When I was first talking to him, it was 150 miles from him. It's got 80 left to go, so it's covered 70 miles, still on the ground. BZM now securing the Blue Ridge 2 Meter Net with our thanks for checking in. All stations, and we'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s to everybody, and good night.
4WZM, KO4JKB. Yeah, I just, I heard that last thing. I just waited so you could finish the net report. But, yes, you said it's like 70 miles from them. I guess if you're watching it, they're watching it, they know when to, I don't know what the plan would be. If a tornado's coming towards you and everything in the house you got, I don't know. I guess if I lived in the Midwest, I'd have a plan to move everything to the basement and maybe get in the car and go or something. I don't know. Does that person have a plan? Seems like a tornado is really close.
He actually is taking several months off from having a job. He saved up a lot of money and decided that he wanted to go tour the United States and go visit friends and ride his bicycle and stuff. So he's actually at an Airbnb place. It's a place that he rented for the night while he's visiting somebody, and he just happens to be there. So it's not his house, not his problem. So if the tornado heads straight for him, he's just going to leave. He needs to either go directly north or directly south. He's got an interstate to go up and down right by him, so he'll be able to get out of the way in time before the weather gets bad. I would tell him to go south, because if he goes north, he'll have a lot of storm chaos to go through. So I would tell him to go straight south as quickly as possible.
because south is actually the shortest way out from that storm. But running and trying to outrun it is just dumb. The storm is moving at 50 miles an hour, mostly east to west, but with a slight, it's like headed east-northeast at 50 miles an hour. And he is east-northeast of it. And it is headed directly for him, but it's still 80 miles out. It was 150 when we first started watching it, and it's covered 70 miles since then. It's got 80 left, and it's still lined up perfectly for him, and it's still on the ground.
The Airbnb, that's a good thing, you know, for his personal situation, not for all those other people on the ground. Also, since you're a weather watcher, and you and him are incommunicado, that is a good thing. So hope he does well, but I feel for all those other people. Like when I was a kid, we watched school safety videos on tornadoes, and I didn't really care much about it until YouTube and storm chasers and HD video comes out, and you see what the storms do. These people go right up to the storm, and I saw a video where there was a truck in the sky twirling around the vortex. And I just thought it was just paper, newspaper, or maybe roof tiles, but this is an actual truck in the air. So, yeah, those are amazing storms.
Even as little as a EF2 can pick a 18-wheeler up off the ground like it's made of styrofoam and toss it thousands of feet into the air. Even an EF2 can do that. It takes nothing. And that's not even a big tornado. I really do hate to think about how big and strong the big ones are. Since you live in Asheville, if you want to spend I'd say it's probably a two-hour drive for you, close to 2 hours. Less than two, but close to two. Go check out a little town in South Carolina called Seneca. They had a tornado come through. I'm going to say it was every bit of 2 years ago now. It was labeled an EF3. It was better than a half a mile wide, and I forget how many miles long. I'm going to say it was more than 20 miles long, maybe more than 30 miles long. But it was rated as a very strong EF3, 5 miles an hour below EF4 level. Since they had rated wind speeds 5 miles an hour faster, it would have been classified as an EF4 instead. And this thing absolutely tore this town up. In areas that was forested, it removed 90-95% of the trees and left a few kind of tree trunks standing, and now leaves are growing at the very tops of those. But you can see that the town got absolutely devastated. It looks like a bomb went off in the middle of the town. And it didn't even hit the poor side of town. It hit some of the wealthier areas, and it came through and messed everything up. But even to this day, you can roll through the town and see that something serious happened, and it looks horrible. 2 years later.
Remember that storm, but I have been down to Seneca and a lot of places there in upstate South Carolina. When I first moved here, I used to install PrimeStar and Dish Network and DirecTV, so I had to go all over West North Carolina, upstate South Carolina, so I could get around without a map pretty good. But I remember that section pretty well. But yeah, you know, like... storms come through. I mean, especially if you build a house, let's say, somewhere, anywhere, or from me to you, you figure you're pretty safe from floods or tornadoes, except for up in Haywood County up here. They had some bad flooding if you live in a little deep holler. But you feel you're safe, but some people, you know, build their houses right on the edge of cliffs and stuff, and yeah, I don't know. I don't know what my point was. Over.
I seen a house today that somebody had built up in the mountains in South Carolina. South Carolina's mountains, actually. and I don't know what they were thinking when they built this house. It looks cool, but when you think about mudslides, it's a horrible idea. There's trees around the house, I'll give them that much. But they built this house on the side of a hill with the driveway running in front of the house. At the front of the house, it's level with the ground. Kind of. It has steps in a pathway that goes down to the house. But then at the back of the house, well, the whole house is on stilts. At the back of the house, if you draw a line or lower a string from the bottom of the floor to the ground, it's about 40 feet. It is literally on a cliff with the back end of the house that high off the ground, like the height of a whole telephone pole, not joking. That is how steep of a slope the house is on. And it's not even that big of a house. And all the problems that could happen? Mm-mm. No. No thank you.
Right here in Asheville, and there's a little street of houses are built the same way. And they're all brand new. They're all built about 3 or 4 years ago. And they kind of overlook the River Arts District. I guess they wanted to be hip and cool or whatever. But they got these, you know, $250,000 houses, and they're probably 2 bedrooms. It's a 2-story, but they're tiny houses. But they, you know, they're modern, but they have, I'd say, 50 to 60 foot stilts. You know, you park at street level, but if you go out on the back deck, it's just a drop off. Kind of like with Hollywood Hills or whatever, something like that. And it's just, I just see that as a bad investment. That's all I got to say.
GM. Yeah, I shook my head today when I seen that house. I was like, I don't know what y'all were thinking, but it wasn't safety. I wouldn't live there. I was told that the person who owns it has a lot of money, so I guess they wanted to be cool and everything, but wow, there's got, I don't know. It just, I couldn't hardly walk in that house without feeling unsure of it. And I have no fear of heights at all. Like, I'm not scared of heights. I'll stand right on the edge of a 1,000-foot cliff, and it won't bother me at all. But to walk in a house that I know is designed like that underneath, I wouldn't trust the house at all. Any number of things could go wrong.
Really scared of heights. Back when I was young and virile, back in the 90s, I was a rock climber from like age 20 to 26, 27, and I climbed the Grand Teton and Wyoming and Yosemite and Nevada and a bunch of states. And I don't know what, I was just fearless. I guess when you're that young, you just feel like nothing's going to stop you. But I had some big falls, big injuries, and then I just had a panic attack on a climb one day, so I just stopped. And now, just last year, about 6 months ago, me, my wife, and a good friend of mine, he's a technician, he's a new hand, and we went to Linville Gorge, and I was just, like, told my wife, like, get back from the edge, get back from the edge, you're too close. I don't know, something flipped in me, now I get vertigo, even when I go up an elevator, it's weird.
Very, very interesting. So you know what it's like to have a fear of heights and to not have a fear of heights. Well, I think I talked to you once about that before, and I'm wondering if you think that I'm crazy to want to get into hang gliding.
I said that before, and no. I mean, I used to have a neighbor that wanted to hang glide, and, it reminded me of another story, but I turned this guy down for the hang gliding. I used to be a photographer for a newspaper back in the late 90s, and I covered this group of hang gliders at the Minford Airport, Southern Ohio. And they said, hey, well, if you sit through this class, we'll take you up for a free hang gliding. And this is when I was right in the thick of my climbing. And then something about skydiving. And I just like, no, that's too great. But no, if you want to do it good. Just go with a reputable company and research and have fun.
Yeah, I've done a lot of research on a number of hang gliding companies out there. There are some places that specialize in training people to be really good pilots, really safe people, stuff like that. And and I've been interested in doing that. I think there's like a Hang Gliders Association or something like that that basically sponsors the safety training and the different safety standards and all that. So, that organization backs a number of these schools and helps people gain their, whatever you want to call it, certifications or whatever for their different categories. They have 5 categories of certifications.
Planning, I did give it a thought or two. It seems like that experience would be pretty remarkable. I don't know. I tell you, people that hang glide, they have this sort of, I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like those guys that jump and do that wingsuit, where they jump off steep cliffs and do the wingsuits. It's kind of like hang gliding. I put it right in the same category. And it's just, you got to be super focused. You have to know when to say no and know when to say go.
Wingsuit gliding, base jumping. Yeah, that's one thing that I don't want to do. Although if I started hang gliding, maybe I'd want to do that too. That looks like a million and one ways to die, though. They go so much faster, and their glide ratio is much steeper than hang gliders. So you can glide at about 30 to 1 to not quite 50 to 1 with a hang glider. It all depends on the wing design. You can get some really good glide ratios out of hang gliders, though. 30 to 50 to 1 is generally the accepted range for hang gliders. And then with actual gliders, the airplane looking ones with the really, really wide wingspans, those are 150 to 1 for their glide ratio. But the wingsuit guys, I don't know what theirs is, but theirs isn't much at all. It's just a wee little ratio. Those guys are almost skydiving. And their speeds are right there at it, way over 100 miles an hour. And I don't even know what their stall speed is, but I'm sure it's faster than 60.
Poor JKV. Yeah, let's just, we just forget about wingsuit guys, but hang gliding, if you're serious about doing it, I have no experience in it, but I would imagine that you would have to have the wherewithal of, like, just a general licensed pilot to know, you know, everything. Temperature, humidity, you know, what the weather's like, barometer, all that stuff. Because you can't just get out there and buy one for, you know, buy a hang glider off Craigslist and just strap up and go off Caesar's Head. You might just sink straight down. So you got to know everything. It's definitely a science for sure. So, yeah, do your studying.
And I found out something. There's a mountain very, very close to my house called Glassy Mountain. Not to be confused with the one in Pickens County, which is like a dollhouse version of this one. The one on the Greenville-Spartanburg line is way, way bigger than the one in Pickens. So our Glassy Mountain, there's a cliffs community up there. The Cliffs at Glassy is what it's called. With like a bunch of really big houses and a golf course and a ridiculous homeowners association with yearly fees and all that. They own the property up there, but there's a hang gliding launch site up at the top by the chapel up there. And you have to be, I think it's a U.S. Hang Gliding Association Category 3 to be allowed to jump off of there. For your certification level of Cat 3 or better. And talking with the locals that live at the bottom of the mountain, there is a when they fly on clear days, there's an area of effectively dead or sinking air off to one side, and anybody that flies over that area sinks down and ends up crashing in the trees. And they've seen it time and time and time and time and time again. Whenever gliders go over there, over to that side of the mountain, they
fall down out of the sky straight into the trees. And I was like, oh, wow. So you can have what looks like good weather, but if you don't know your topography, you don't know what's over there. So they told me, hey, if you ever fly over there, don't fly over this direction because you'll come down. So that absolutely surprised me to know that. And they said that it's not an occasional thing. It's consistent. It's always there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say if you want to take up that as a hobby, I mean, it's not like bungee jumping, where you just go and just pay someone and they strap you in a harness and you just trust them, you know, and you just go over. This, when you're hang gliding, like I said, I've never done it before. I can only imagine that there's all the responsibilities on you. You are the owner, operator, and every, you know, consultant and insurance agent, and you have to just check your gear and check everything and just look up past reports of hang gliding in a certain location, talk to people who have done it many, many times, and then if you got the wherewithal to actually do it, hopefully you can slow your breathing down enough to be able to pull it off. But if you do it, put a GoPro on. We'd love to see it. But I'm too old for that. Like I said, I got vertigo. KO4JKP.
Museum. I'll need $10,000 before I can do that. $5,000 to buy a wing and $5,000 for the training. $10,000 total. And then I can go do that. So I'm not going to have $10,000 today, tomorrow, or next week. It's going to be a while. Give me at least a year, and I'll get back to you on that.
They already have a hang gliding rental service. You can't just rent one, like a old, you know, 70s model.
In a way, you could do that. They also keep track of the number of hours on each wing, though, and they only fly each wing for a certain number of hours before completely tearing them down and rebuilding them. And at some point, they just retire the wing and get rid of it. A lot of times, too, they watch the materials and they keep track of the flight hours and the number of years old that the fabric is, because over time, the sun deteriorates it, too. But I'd probably buy one brand new, that way I know it's new, and I would go over it with a fine-tooth comb and inspect it every single flight before and after to make sure everything is good on it, and fix it if something happens to it. I wouldn't want something that other people have already used to death. I want something that I could learn inside and out, that way if there's any kind of a small issue, I would know what it was and be able to fix it.
Makes total sense. I'm just curious. I mean, you seem pretty serious about trying it. Is there any type of, like, hang glider simulation on the computer? I know there's flight simulators. Back when I did install dishes, I did it at a pilot's house, and he actually had a flight simulator with three monitors. He was really into it because he was a pilot, but I'm sure there might be some sort of hang gliding simulator. Have you heard anything about that?
Of a hang glider simulator, I know effectively how they work. I grew up playing a flight sim. I've flown a plane before in real life, and that was fun. My brother has almost finished his pilot license, but never completed it 100% because he has a hard time staying awake and doesn't want to die that way. So I have a good knowledge of flight and how stuff works. Also, I grew up making paper airplanes and learned how to adjust the wings to make them do different things, all that kind of stuff. I've got a decent background in knowing functionally how to fly. I have the knowledge of how it works, but I don't have the experience to know when the wind does this, you do this, when the wind does that, you do that via reflex. Before, when I was younger, I knew how to drive a truck, and now I have the experience. I can feel when the slightest little thing is off and how to adjust the slightest little thing, either on the truck or during driving, to adjust to the situation that I'm facing. So
I know that there's a big difference in between knowledge and experience, but you have to have a certain amount of knowledge in order to be safe to gain the experience. And I think that I have enough knowledge now to be able to gain the experience once I can afford the equipment and training.